So we're reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honoured as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accordance with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labour we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Run out of arms. Do you just want to do the first slide while I'm just getting ready? Just do one more. One more. One more. Excellent. Pick a slide. Pick a slide you like. I can't decide if mine's the doorstop or the guy who's painting the signs on the road. So Wendy's kind of covered it. She's kind of said, you know, what is laziness? So I'd love to know your opinion. What is laziness? In your words, go. Give me something.
Idleness.
Yep. Thank you. Anything else? When you can't make an effort to do something. Yep. Can't make an effort?
Won't.
Okay, that's good, good, cool. All right, go. So when you won't make an effort and it's at someone else's expense. Okay, what are we lazy about? I just realised I'm lazy about my garden. Like, had my day off and Bronwyn goes, oh, what are you going to do on your day off? And I said, da-da-da-da. And she goes, oh, you might like to do some gardening. And I went, no, I don't think so. But I did it. And I'll unpack that. Well, so what are we lazy about? I'm lazy about my garden. What can we be lazy about? Housework? Contacting people? Lazy about housework? Lazy about relationships? Yep, what else can we be lazy about? Exercise, our physical well-being. Anything else? Diet? Hygiene? Don't know who said that, but I'm glad I didn't know. Oh, did you say that, Joan? Bronwyn said that. Oh, you said that. Oh, good, because we have to have a conversation later otherwise. So, here you go. There's different types of lazinesses, and there are different types of reason to be lazy. How does laziness affect people? Think about families in particular. How does laziness affect people? Go for it. Give me some examples. Joan.
Well, it's basically selfish to everybody else's
interests. Okay, so how does it affect people? Oh, this is good. So the way it affects people can change you and it can make you self-centered. The only thing that matters is not the family, but what you want. So laziness can make you very focused. Bron? That's right. So if you're lazy and don't do that relationship follow-up or the whatever, someone else has to do it, particularly in a family unit. Anything else? Okay, hold that thought. Yep. Yes, laziness has a guilt attached, doesn't it? Yes. That's right. The laziness can make you guilty about things you don't enjoy unless you're really good at it. It causes conflict. Yep, cool. Kev, last one.
Financial.
Yeah, it costs. Okay, don't want to look for a job. Someone else has got to supply your income. Yep. I've got a few things. I think laziness can complicate life. Laziness burdens others. Laziness shows a disrespect for people. So this is, I found that it's kind of funny that he couldn't get out of his truck to move the branch and just did the line. But I find it an incredible, I find that as a disrespect. And for me, I find that woman, not only is she just doing the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, you know, taking a kid on a Segway, but it's a disrespect to the child, you know. And in some ways, it's a disrespect for the people in traffic, you know. That's how I'm seeing it. And I actually think laziness, when it's a lifestyle issue, actually changes people always for the worse. And my last observation is, no one likes lazy people. No, let's be honest. If you're on a team, do you want a lazy person? You go, no. And yet, we all have it. This is not a question I want you to answer, but what does Christian laziness look like? Because there's generic laziness, then there's Christian laziness. What does that look like? Well, in Thessalonica today, the apostle in chapter 3 is dealing with some bludgers. Some people were bludging off the church. They didn't want to be part of the team, didn't want to be part of the family, and they refused to work. They were just bludging. And we're going to look at the teaching that he gives about laziness. But before we kick off, I was taken by verses 6 and 14. We'll pray in a moment, but he basically said twice in the passage, avoid lazy people. Like, stay away from them. Now, can imagine if you're a lazy person and I said from the front, you know, Jarell, I'll just pick on you. You're not lazy because I know you work hard at home and do everything your mother says. There's a bit of pressure. But can imagine if I said, you know, please stay away from Jarell. He's lazy. Look, that's what and it says it twice, stay away from them. What is so bad about laziness? Come on, laziness is it's innocent, it's innocuous. So the big focus is 6 to 12. I'm going to read 6 to 12, try and glean anything you can about laziness and why the apostle would want to say you need to stay away from those people. You ready? Verses 6 to 12 of 2 Thessalonians 3, and I'm reading the ESV, I apologize for the differences. Here we go. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who was walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we weren't idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labour we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any one of you. It's not because we don't have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some of you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. And such people we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Now, we're all lazy, but I just wanted to highlight, did you see verse 6? It's a great term, they walk in idleness. Now, walking is a Jewish way of saying lifestyle. You know, you've got to walk the walk and walk the talk. So walking in idleness, I call that a lazy lifestyle. And he gives a whole stack of reasons. I just want to highlight a few. Interestingly enough, in verse 6, laziness, as far as Paul's concerned, is going against the tradition the apostles sent. That's a big call. Laziness is against apostolic tradition. If you like to put it this way, it's opposite to how Christians ought to do things. And he hammers it a bit. What's a tradition? A tradition is something you want to pass on. You know, it's a community's habit. So the apostles gave them a tradition, and they are to receive the tradition and pass it on. He's going, you know what? Laziness is not a tradition we want you to pass on. It's actually opposite of the tradition we do want to pass on to you. verse 7, he adds to that. He goes, laziness not only goes against apostolic tradition, but it actually goes against apostolic example. And if you look at verse 7, Christians are obligated to imitate the apostles' example. So it's not negotiable. And laziness goes against the very thing they're meant to imitate. Even further, and no surprise, in verse 8. Basically, laziness burdens the church family. And when you think about it, think about your own family. When someone is lazy in your family, it's harder to be a family. When everyone pulls their weight in the family, it's easier to be a family. And come on, the parents in the room, you know what it's like. You don't want to rouse at your kids, and you don't. But when they do it right, it's just easy. Rachel's smiling. Tracy's doing this. Oh yeah, you preach it, brother. And it's true. Laziness makes being a family harder. It burdens a family. And if church is a family, then when we're lazy about our Christian lifestyle, we burden the church family, and it's harder to be a church family. And I love verse 8. Did you notice the apostolic mindset in verse 8? It's not a teaching, but it's just the mindset. The apostles came into a situation, and the first question was, as Jones already highlighted, it's not what we can get out. It's how we can contribute to make it easier for others. This is a cool Christian concept, isn't it? To walk into a Christian group, go look at the group, not go, you know, what can I get out of this church here? Wrong question. You come into the church and go, right, how can I contribute to make this a better church, to make this a better Bible study, to make this a better whatever? It's a complete, the apostolic mindset's really, really different. Verse 8. Do you think verse 10 is a bit harsh? Do you love the teaching? Even when we were with you, we gave this, it's a command. If anyone won't work, they don't eat. Do you think it's a bit harsh? Imagine with this church and some people won't work. Let's say Alan won't work and the apostolic command is don't feed him. If he's got no food, don't give him one scrap. Do you think that's a bit harsh? Yep, Rhonda's going, oh, but I like people being happy. It's a thing we juggle with, isn't it? We don't want to be awkward. We don't want to, it seems unchristian because Christians pat kittens and do all the nice things. But when you look at verse 10 properly, we never want to support a lazy person in their laziness. There are several reasons. Number one, in the ancient church, there are limited resources. We don't have a whole stack of money. We don't have a whole stack of food. We don't have a whole stack of time. We don't have a whole stack of emotional energy. It's a limited commodity. So there's two people, A and B. Do you invest it in A, who's not ever going to contribute? It's a limited commodity. If you give it to A, B misses out. Who do you decide? Of course, Paul would say, you know what? If that person has got a lazy lifestyle and will not work, not cannot work, will not work, don't contribute to their laziness, because we have limited commodities and we want to spend it where the need is. That makes sense. Can you remember the widow sermon we did? It's not dissimilar. But secondly, there's something funny about a person. There's two ways to motivate a person, fear and love, or grace and judgment. If they don't respond to grace, I don't have to work, I'm getting a free meal. They might respond to hunger a bit better. And whether that's true, whether that's right, whether you think that's right or wrong, it's actually true. Sometimes we need extrinsic motivators like fear and hunger to do the right thing because grace isn't enough for us because we're so whatever. It might be that. Or it might be something else. Maybe when you stop feeding the lazy person, you stop feeding their laziness and you might actually be saving their souls. And we'll get to that in a moment. Because if their lifestyle is in the opposite direction of the tradition, there's a problem. We'll get to that. And you notice in verse 11, laziness uses busyness to avoid work. Busyness is the best camouflage to avoid work. I've been to so many working bees over so many churches. I'm a bit enthusiastic. I'm a big believer the minister's got to be the first person to get their hands dirty, the first person with a power tool. Karen thinks I should not be near a power tool. That could be indeed true. But I just, yeah, Bronwyn's going, yes, that's right. But I've been to so many working bees where you work damn hard and you're tired and it's worth it. And you look around and you think, what's that person been doing? Why are their hands clean? And they're talking here, talking there, you know. And busy bodies, the best way to hide laziness is to look busy. And I think we all know what's going on there. And can I just say there's two types of busynesses, and don't mistake them. Sometimes we are busy. Let me rewind. When your busyness compromises your godliness, there's a problem. There's two types of busyness. Busyness number one is when you're so focused on that other task that you've compromised God. That's an idolatry busyness. That's not busybodying, that's being idolatrous. You've devoted to something else more than God. And there's another type of busyness that wants to avoid complications with God by being busy. In their church case, there were busybodies going around from house to house having relationship but really not having relationship. In verse 12, there's an interesting, this is where we finish up. Notice the command. In verse 12, it says, now such persons we command and encourage. And here's the key word. They command and encourage in the name of the Lord Jesus to do their work quietly to earn their own living. So you can see in verse 12, he's appealing to the authority of Jesus as the boss. So in that case, it seems that the lazy Christian undermines Jesus as Lord. Because if he's our boss, he's got a job for us to do. If we're just being lazy, we're undermining his leadership. Well, here's my question. That's the passage. You understand? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's not rocket science. I've got a few Dennis questions in my head, and they're this. What's this? If laziness is walking in the opposite direction of the apostolic tradition, what's the specific tradition that Paul is thinking about that laziness is grinding against? Or, for example, what are the specific examples that... What is the example that Paul's trying to give that laziness goes in the opposite direction? Is it the Protestant work ethic that if you're a hard worker, then that's what salvation's all about? I thought the best way of doing it is to reread 2 Thessalonians. Maybe it's in there. Because, you know, when you read a letter, you miss something. There was nothing in there, so I thought I'd go further back in time. And I read 1 Thessalonians, and I got it. And here it is in one verse. It's in chapter 2, verse 13. And as I read this, you're going to pick up the word, you're going to pick up the smell of tradition, you're going to pick up the smell of examples, of imitation, of power and work and effort, you'll pick up the smell of family. It's all in this one little verse, and I think this is the tradition, this is the example, this is what Paul thinks is important that the lazy people didn't get. So let me read it to you with that massive introduction. We thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God. What does the word of God do? It is at work in you believers, for you brothers became imitators of the church of God. So, it looks like this. The tradition that Paul wants to pass on is the word of God. He's teaching them cognitively this word. But the cognitive word of God starts in the head. Where's the next place in the body it hits? It moves from the head to the heart and then to the feet. And so this is the tradition that is meant to mark our walk as Christians. And laziness jars against the word of God. And that's really important because the word of God that was heard is a living word that must be seen in the examples. I'm not going to talk about you, I'll talk about me. If I have a Bible truth that's in my head, but you can't see it in my hands, I don't understand it. Fact. It's true, isn't it? You could learn something in the Bible, but if it's not in your hands and in your feet and in your lips, you don't understand it. It's a notion. But when it moves from here to here, and then visible by example in here and here and here, that's when you see the power of the Word of God. And indeed, can I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that energizes, because the word of God is living, it's active, it's a changing word. It's not a lazy word, it's a changing word. And the word of God, verse 14, turns us into what? Turns us into family, brothers and sisters. Jesus, your mother and brothers and sisters are outside. Jesus says, who are my mother, brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties? Those who keep my Father's word and obey it. So the word of God doesn't just energize us. It actually changes our identity into family. And this is all under Jesus as Lord. So now lazy lifestyle is anti the word of God and is anti-spiritual. And if I was going to be controversial, I would say it's anti-Christ. And it's a trait that we, as the children of light, when we have those lazy episodes, should be embarrassed about, because laziness is not a trait of light, it's a trait of darkness. So, what's the take-home value? All right, I'm going to tell you a secret that I think you already know. Laziness dilutes identity, generically. But laziness really dilutes Christian identity. Think of cordial. The more you add, the less. Actually, it becomes something worse than cordial. It becomes something worse than water. Diluted cordial is worse than water, isn't it? It's terrible. But let me tell you that laziness will dilute your identity. And that's why it's dangerous. That's why you stay away from the habitually lazy person. You don't write them off as enemies. Notice verse 19 says, don't write them off as enemies, but don't be influenced by them, because they will dilute your identity. Let me give you an example. And this is not Dennis guilting you to do stuff as the minister. Don't hear that. If you're hearing that, you've missed the point. This is just me unpacking the word. I think when you get lazy and stop reading the word of God, your choices you will make will no longer be about the kingdom. Because this helps us keep our identity in our circumstances. When you stop reading this, you'll stop having a clarity of identity and circumstance and become a pragmatic person. And as Joan said, whatever makes me most comfortable, that will become your identity, and you'll wake up one day and have no identity. That's why I feel sorry. Jemima and Gerald, you know what I'm talking about. The Gen Z issue is identity. And the problem with Gen Z is, what's killing their identity? They're online. It's not online that's bad. It's because they're lazy and there's no identity to them. They're going, who am I? They try and invent themselves and they're lost. Am I this? Am I that? Am I up? Am I down? And this is why I want to encourage you, I'm going to say this to the not churching, hold your identity in Christ, because then your online stuff will not affect you as much, because you're anchored. And I say this to the adults. I'll give you another example. When you stop attending church and contributing to the church family, you will stop seeing church as family. You know, I've said this before, I've been here a long time, and I consider everyone in this room as family. I know you. And it's because I'm not a good man, but we've contributed into each other's lives. And I see you regularly, therefore I see you as family. You stop turning up at church because it's unimportant, you'll just think, why do I turn up? It's just a bunch of weird people. Can you see? So beware that laziness dilutes identity. And when you're too busy fighting for your rights, there's no energy left for your obligation. And here's the scary bit. Beware that your example does not dilute someone else's identity in Christ. That's the worst bit, isn't it? So, what's the take-home value? Be that person. You know, that person at work that's inspiring, or that person at home. Be that person at church. You know, that person who's praying for others. And that person who sacrificially contributes to the salvation of other people. And that looks like different things for everyone in this room. Be that person that's the first person to get their hands dirty. And that person that walks to a group of people and goes, what can I contribute to make this a more functional group? And I know I'm looking at Paul now, because I know Paul's in an authority context, and I think Paul is that person on so many levels. He makes being at school easier because he's that person. You know, be that person. Be that person that organises their busyness around the Lord, not the Lord around their busyness. And if we've got, at the moment we've got 51 people in this room, if we've got 51 that persons in the room, it's easier to be church. It's easier to be family. It's easier to be unshaken. I'm going to stop. I wanted to do a confession. I didn't do it at 8 o'clock, but Gwendy's smarter than I am, and she's got a confession, spoiler alert, for us to do. And I think that's a really good start. And I want to encourage you, for Bible nerds, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the Lord is full of compassion and slow to anger. You know, and today is the good day to stop that lazy lifestyle and start something new. So, Gwendy, I'll pass it to you. We'll all apologise to the Lord Jesus so we can get on being that person.